going to talk in English because I've got some of my family in the back there that can only speak English yet. They've been challenged to learn Afrikaans, so hopefully we'll see them do this soon. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Johan. We've been, Allegra and I have been in Bonneville for 3 years and about 25 days, and we've made it our home, and I'm very privileged to be able to share my story with you today. I've got two stories. One is a physical story, which is the one I'll talk to you guys about today, and the other one is a financial story, which I'm not going to do today, but maybe another time an opportunity presents for that. So I'm going to start off. The title of the talk was Perfectly Made, and something that I've been wondering about of late, in that, you can go to the next slide. So if I read Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16, it says, "You made me all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment is laid out before a single day is passed." Now, if we just stand still there for a moment, then what we're reading is that God made us all perfect. And I wonder, and I'm not a judge at all when I say these things, please, it's just my observation. What is the purpose of someone there are people are unhappy with their gender. There are people unhappy with their eyes, the color of their eyes are. There are people unhappy with the color of their hair. But if we read this, God made us all perfect. So what happens? What are we saying to God when we're unhappy about how he made us? I mean, for me, that's kind of the starting point. So, please go on to the next slide. Yeah, that's my question. Are you happy? And that's like really the theme. Are you happy with how God made you? And we can go to the next slide. So, this is me. I was born with clubfoot. Very severe degree of clubfoot. My first, I was in Plaster of Paris from 2 weeks. And they tried to... Well, it's not a photo of me, but it's a photo of what it looks like. They try to mangle your feet back in the direction it's supposed to go. I was born in 1968. In those days, it was not as enlightened as now. And the doctor will tell you it's not such a big thing to treat it nowadays. But in those days they took out saws and wedges and tried to force it back. So I've had maybe 16 operations or so in both my feet. And this is also one of the reasons why I sit often when push-up goes too long, because the feet are tired. So I'm not going to share this with you for you to feel sorry for me, but for you to experience what I've gone through in terms of understanding that even with this, God made me perfect. Okay, that's good. And then I was also nearsighted. When I was at school, my eyes was like -5. And for you, what that means is I had thick glasses. The first sub A and sub B, what's it, grade 1 and 2, I sat right in front and I still couldn't see the board. So that was another challenge. So imagine at school I had crutches. For those of you who know how to treat club feet, you had these boots with braces that come all the way to your knee. So these braces and thick glasses, and that was me at school. You can go to the next one. And my father was an alcoholic. So I was the oldest son, and life was interesting. I've got an unbelievable mother. So she was the pillar in our house, and I don't know if I would be able to talk to you here today if it wasn't for her. So, with all of this, The result is no friends. I was bullied. Christopher spoke last week about standing last when the team was selected. I was always last. There was never, ever, maybe for the chess team, they kind of chose me like midway down, but for any other physical team, I was last. And then I hated being home, because when I was at home, Dad was drunk, family was unhappy. So yeah, it was a rough time. Go to the next one. And then this question comes up, these questions. Why does this happen to me? And what have I done to deserve this? Now, if God is not in your heart, this question is very real. Eh? And something happens. I mean, we're Christians. We try and help someone. Someone's that's going through death at their home or whatever. And then they ask you, where's God in this? And we don't always know the answer for that. So in my life, look, I went through Katkasasi with the NG Church, but it was ticking a box. Went to church every Sunday, go to Sunday school, stand up, sit down, go home, grab the surfboard, go to the beach. That was kind of my Sunday story. So, and this is the question I think we all have to really challenge ourselves with. Next one. So, I rebelled against the system. My first business was called Maverick Cycles, and the Maverick is that cow that doesn't follow the herd. So everything that someone told me to do, I ask why. And if someone tells me you cannot do it, I see red. Those of you who are closer to me in my life now will understand that I'm often very impatient, and if someone tells me they can't do something, I just can't accept it. So I had a couple of older guys who became my friends. They were rough guys. The one guy, when he had too much greenery from Transkei, he used to sleep in his car outside his mother's house. The other guy, his nickname was Bos Arp, so you can imagine what he looked like. But these, Yanni and Bos Arp, they were both like 4 or 5 years older than me. Don't know how it happened. They just embraced me in their lives. They never felt sorry for me. I was one of them, and maybe I was like the younger brother. And so as I said, I challenged everything. The next one. So in my teens, I had two goals. Firstly, I wanted to prove to the world that I can compete with them on a physical level. And I embraced wave ski surfing. For those of you who don't know that, it's like surfing, but you sit down on a ski. And the other one is to prove to my dad that I'm more successful than him. And the measurement of that was currency. So for my dad, I said to him, before I'm 30, I'm going to earn more than him. And he was on the exco of Metropolitan Life, so he did earn quite a decent salary. But it was a big challenge for me to prove to him that I'm better than him. The physical one, it's not, I mean, I didn't do this, the wave ski surfing. I ended up being, for many years, like in the top 10 or so in South Africa. I also played squash, I played rugby, I played cricket. Everything that everyone said to me I can't do, I was, as I said, I just saw red when that happens. So, next one. And then, as we become successful, we become a man of the world. I had money, houses, cars. I met a beautiful woman. And I first typed there, I met a wonderful woman. But at this point in my life, the attraction was the physical. There was no emotional connection. There was, of course, because we're married now. But the point is, I think when you are a Christian and you meet another Christian lady, you see far beyond the physical. At that stage, I met a beautiful woman. And next slide. And then, I think when Allegra and I met, we were not Christians. We were Christians in name. You know, we had friends. And we did what everyone do. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. I go to nature. That's my church. I can feel him here. You know, we've heard all that, all those stories. I mean, we hear it all the time from everyone. So, luckily, my beautiful woman wife became a good wife, and she started searching because there was definitely something missing in our lives. I remain a spectator. Allegra will come back from a church on a Sunday morning and tell me what it was like, and then I tell her maybe next week. And then next week she goes somewhere else, and she comes back, and I say, okay, maybe next week. And that was kind of my church journey. And then my business stress started increasing, and the search for salvation became very real. There was the feeling in my gut that there's something more out there that I'm missing became an issue. Next one. So, Easter of 2007, my wife dragged me to a Easter service of Angus Buchan on his farm at Shalom. And you know, as a person of the world listening to Christian rhetoric, the concept of miracles and all these kind of things, you think, yeah, what the heck are people talking about? I've never seen it. What's going to happen? And I was privileged to see a miracle this day. They pushed an old gentleman into church, and he walked out. When the service was over, I ran out to go and see if he verneked the system, and he's back in his chair, of course. He was still standing there, and in those days, Angus could carry on a bit, so the service was at least 2 hours long. So I thought to myself, I saw him being pushed in a wheelchair. He could definitely not walk. And he walked out, and the penny dropped. There's much more to this than just reading the Bible or listening to stories. Next one. And then the shack and the plane trip happened in my life. I needed to forgive my father for what he has done, or I perceived him to have done in my life. And I don't know if this book is necessarily accepted by all churches, but this book changed my life because it's about forgiveness. And for those of you who know me, I read a lot. If you're a member of Kindle, and they send you every year your reading history, I read about 250 to 300 books a year. So I read a lot. Maybe not that many, but I mean it's like top 5% of Kindle readers in the world. So I was on a plane from Pietermaritzburg to Joburg to go and do some work there, and started reading The Shack. And it's a 50-minute trip, and I was in tears the whole way there. After a while, the air hostess didn't ask me for something to drink. She brought me tissues because I was embarrassing the whole airplane. So I did my job that day, and on the way back, I was at the Johannesburg airport, and there was a guy in front of me, like a couple of people in front of me, a short guy, and he had a mountain of luggage. And I had nothing. So I just walked up to him, and it's, again, totally out of character because I was quite a bit of an introvert. So I walk up to this gentleman, and I said to him, look, I can see you've got a lot of luggage. You're going to pay a lot of overweight here. I've got nothing. If you want, I can book in some of the luggage. We're both going to Pietermaritzburg, and Pietermaritzburg airport is about the size of this room, so there's nothing. I can't run away with anything, you know. You'll know where I am. So the air hostess said, no, that's fine, but you must sit together. And that's how I met a guy called Greg Smirden. You can go to the next slide. And got plugged into church. Greg, at that time, was running African Enterprises. It's an NGO in Pietermaritzburg that does a lot of outreach work there. His African Enterprises was started by a gentleman called Michael Cassidy, and he's quite a knowledgeable or a known person in our world. And Greg changed my life. when we landed at Pieter Maritzburg, we were sitting in the back together. The first time we met each other, the air hostess had to kind of come and encourage us to get off the plane because we were talking so much, we didn't want to get off. And the next day, next Sunday, we went to their church. So Greg and his wife, they had a very small church. That was really this old house in the bottom of Pieter Maritzburg that they started doing church. And Allegra and I were the only white people there for many years. But they changed their life. And still to this day, Greg is kind of my spiritual mentor. If I get stuck while I was putting this together, I realized I haven't spoken to him for a long time. So I sent him a message. And he's in the U.S., a very, very dynamic guy. If I can ever get him to tell you about faith, it will blow your minds. I'm just going to maybe regress a bit. Greg goes to China to go and get a tent because he wants his church is getting too small and he wants to start doing a church in a tent. He got a school to give him some ground and he's going to put his tent up and he heard that China, you can get a cheap tent there. When he landed at the reception of the airport, we had a coffee there, and he had a connection. We met there, and he saw a young lady crying, and he said to this guy who met him, "You know, is that lady really looked distressed? Do you think I could go and pray for her?" And it's in China, as you know, that is not allowed. You're not allowed to kind of share your faith there, and. The guy said, "Well, you know, we're not supposed to, but God put it on your heart. Go." He went to pray for the lady. The lady's dad owns the biggest tent making company in China. So, needless to say, Greg had a huge tent in China. Well, from China. So Greg is and we got really plugged into this. We took part in all the activities of the church. We went to the. Just all activities, the home groups, the get-togethers. And if there's anyone here that believes you can be a spectator, and I so much enjoyed Christopher's sermon last week, was if anyone here that believes you can be a spectator in church, you've got it wrong. Okay, next one. So as God Family Life Center grew, you know, we felt our time with them was over, and we moved to Hilton Christian Fellowship, which is kind of where we lived, and that's an NCMI church. So it's kind of similar to Josh Jen, and we were there for many, many years until we moved here. So it was a fantastic time with them. Also, were part of their growth. I remember having to carry. And at school hall, having to put all the chairs out and put all the chairs back after every sermon. That was quite a, if you get the draw for that week, you skip gym because it's hectic. Okay, you get the next one. So as I conclude, I wanna share this with you, Philippians 3:13-14. "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us." I didn't use any pictures of myself because I don't have any. I've cut out the history, what's happening behind me, because life's not there. Life's in front of us, and it makes me so sad that people. Please forgive me again if I'm stepping on toes. I don't know much of this, and you understand where I'm coming from, where I was. I'm super driven to move forward. When people tell me that I have to deal with unresolved issues first before they can move forward, and I understand it has to happen. I had to deal with the shack and forgiveness, but don't get stuck there. We need to move forward, and that's really the message I want to give you tonight. Next slide there. This is my second last slide. This is a song by Francesca Bastelli. "I spent today in a conversation in the mirror, face to face. Someone less than perfect. I wouldn't choose me first if I was looking for a champion. I fact, I'd understand if you picked everyone else before me. But that's just not my story. True to who you are, you saw my heart and made something out of nothing. I don't need my name in lights. I'm famous in my father's eyes. Make no mistake, he knows my name. I'm not living for applause. I've already so adored. It's all his stage. He knows my name. And so, if I was... Before I found the Lord, my ego was massive. Because everything I have achieved at that stage, I thought I've done in my own power. And when you've got an ego, the next thing you do is you compare yourself to everyone around you. And that's still a big challenge in my life, that the ego and the comparison. If we truly embrace that we only have to please one person, and it's not your brother or your sister, your mother, it's only God. Life is absolutely sets us free. Can you go to the next slide? So, the future is in front of you. All you have to say is yes. So, on that note, if there's anyone here who's looked himself in the mirror this morning and was unhappy, come join me. It's an invitation.
Okay, hello. I think I'm going to open the floor. Is there anyone that maybe has a question for you, Juan? Anyone that maybe wants to share something that was put on their heart, maybe? Yeah, thank you, Juan. Right, I'm going to share. I'm switching over into English. I don't speak English often, so if I fumble over my words, forgive me. Isaiah 6, verse 10, or verse 9, it says, God is speaking to Isaiah. He says, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people, plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, they will not hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He personally carried away our sins in his own body on the cross, so we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. You have been healed by his wounds. Once you were wandering like lost sheep, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. I'm going to read from my Bible. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Verse 24, you have been healed by his wounds. When we speak about healing, there's physical healing. There's people standing up in wheelchairs. And there's also spiritual and emotional healing. You can hurt someone with words without hitting them with a plank. You can hurt someone more with words sometimes. So that is, in its own, is a bevis. That's bevis in English. It's a proof that you are not just physical. You are also spiritual. You are also emotional. There's something inside you that's also living. And that thing inside, that is where Jesus started living in you. That is the treasure in the field. We all were created and born into a sinful world. We all got influenced by the world. We all, last week, I only had 1 minute in church during worship, and then I went outside with the kids and the water that was running over there, And that 1 minute in church, God showed me something. He showed me all of us standing and worshiping. And I saw this wind just blowing over us and washing away all the hurt and all the lies and all the pain and everything that's binding people up and killing them and hurting them. And I see it all wash away, and I see a beautiful picture of every one of us freely worshiping God, being free, being united. It's almost like Philip often spoke about the poikikos. Ons is elke in 'n bestanddeel in 'n poikikos. And I see this group of people that God has put together for His kingdom in Bonnievale and in our lives. And I see healing. Healing. I think the devil comes and he tries through everything in the world to pull us away, to take our face, our eyes away from what is truth, and looking at cell phones, as Kobus said, or getting our eyes away from the answer. He just doesn't want us to find that. He doesn't want us to find Him. He just wants us to find anything else that is not Jesus, that is not truth, that is not where healing will be found. And we keep on running in circles, and we keep on staying in the same season our whole life. But there's more to it. That there's this verse in the Bible that often comes to my mind where it says, one day in heaven, I can't remember the exact words, one day in heaven, we will no longer even think about the earth. Like, it will be so far gone. Our time here is so short. If you draw a circle graph and you plot your age, circle graph, let's say 80 years, average age, you plot your years on that 80 years circle graph, you'll see you're almost done. Like, we have so little time on earth. So why not just let go of everything? Let go of everything that tries to close our eyes, harden our hearts and minds and our ears, and just let Jesus wash it away. And yeah, He's the only one, He's the only gate through which we find healing, through which we find skepingsdoel, the reason why we were created. And freedom and healing and joy and life and Holy Spirit. And when you find that day that you've led Christ into your heart, suddenly the Bible becomes alive and you start coloring in your Bible with highlighters and you start understanding the Word. I spoke to someone during this week. He said he had a Bible study on Romans 5 and he didn't understand anything in it. And he gave his heart to the Lord a week or two later, and he read it again, and suddenly everything made sense. So I think most of us today have some time in our life we have made that decision. Het ons al daai besluit geneem en het ons hart en ons lewe vir Jesus gegee. I want to just give a moment where if anyone, and let's do it a little bit different than always. Let's say if anyone after church wants to come and be prayed for, wants to recommit your life to Christ, or you feel you've taken your gaze away from Jesus and you've put it on something else, and you know this is not where life is going to be found. This is not the real treasure. This is not, and you want to give it back to Jesus. And I'll be humble and say, I also want prayer, please. I want someone to come pray for me as well. I'm going to end off the service, and then you can go drink coffee. If you take your coffee, you can just move outside, please. Go and stand there in the cool wind. And then those of us who still want to pray, Marjorie is still going to be on the keyboard. And any one of us who needs prayer, you can just come to this corner. And if you feel led by the Holy Spirit to come pray for us as well, you are welcome. You can come pray. And if not, we'll just pray for each other. So let's stand. And uh, Oh, Jesus, you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Lord, in you there is healing. In you there, you are the only way that we can not just enter into the kingdom one day, but you are the way through which we can enter into God's presence, our Father's presence, today and always. Jesus, you are the one that washes away all our sins. You are the one that wash away all our wrongdoings, and we can come and stand in front of the Father, and we are able to stand there, Lord, and just be His child. Just be your child, Father. You know, so today I want to come pray for each one of us, Father, each one of us who are in this world, and we all have our own battles, Lord. We all have our own struggles. We all have things that we have to deal with every day that keeps us from being clean and being pure in front of you, and keeps us from coming to you, Father. And I pray that, like you washed the disciples' feet, you told Peter that you don't need to wash his whole body, you just need to wash his feet, because his body has already been washed. I pray, Father, that today each one of us will bring that piece of our body, Father, will bring our peace, our feet that's in contact with the world every day, come lay down before you and ask you to wash it clean. Come wash us clean again today, Lord, and come make us whole. Come make us whole, Lord. Come make us a healthy part in your body on earth, Father. And we are all ingredients in this poiki course in Bonneville. And Lord, if we're not willing to share our lives with each other, if we are not willing to let go of all the bad things, we remain an ingredient that you cannot add to the poiki course. You want us to be pure. You want us to be holy. You want us to, yeah, Lord, to be clean. And it's only through you, Jesus. So we need you, and we praise you. We glorify you, Jesus. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you that you are the pure and the spotless Lamb that was slain for our sins. Yeah, and we pray for everyone today, Father, that we will be humble and willing to lay down our lives for your kingdom's sake. For it's the only thing that's worthy living for. It's the only thing that's worth attaining, Lord, is to be one with you. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen.